driver's ed when I took it in high school is all about, okay, make sure your turn signal's on. And then what kind of lights do you use when there's fog? Motorcycles ed was just like, okay, what are the three main ways that people die on a bike? Because motorcycles are dangerous.
Dickie, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
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 No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. Welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother. I'm Nikki Levy, and you know where we are. This is where your favorite humans from movies, TV, sports, and comedy tell a true story they'd never want their moms to know. And then we bring on their moms. But today, we are bringing on their dad. And to get this party started, I'm bringing on my good friend, the Critics' Choice nominee, brilliant actor, Harvey Guillen. You all know Harvey from the hit comedy What We Do in the Shadows on Hulu, where he plays Guillermo. Hey, Harvey.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, babe. You tell us who today's guest is.
Today's guest is a very special friend of mine. I met her on the set of a pilot that we shot years ago in New York City, the Windy Apple, as I like to call it.
The big Windy Apple.
Yeah. And she's fantastic, super talented, such a good human being. I can't talk highly enough. It's Lilan Bowden.
And Lilan was the adult star of the groundbreaking Disney Channel show Andy Mack, which was so cool because it was the first Disney show to have a gay character. First ever. And it won a GLAAD award.
Yeah. Groundbreaking. She's a part of that. She's part of history.
Harvey, her story is the first time she learned how to ride a motorcycle and then chaos ensued. Have you ever ridden a motorcycle?
No, I'm actually... I've been on one once, and it was... I'm really terrified of motorcycles. I get really worried. I mean, there's nothing protecting you. Like, it's literally like you just fall off. You what are you doing? Like, it's like I already feel, you know, weird in a car like a metal box. So I don't want to be open air with just maybe a helmet. Like, it's just like, what about your body?
What is one of the most adventurous things that you've done?
Just saying yes and. Like, just like that whole idea of improv where someone asks you to go somewhere. Like, you know, my friend Romy was like, I've been wanting to go to Savannah, Georgia, because we've been talking about it for years. And I've been there before, but she hasn't. And she loves that, you know, it's the most haunted city in America.
Is it?
Has this, like, yeah, it is. It's really haunted.
I've never been to Georgia.
It's really cool.
When are you
going
to go?
We're going next month. It's going to be like the 4 days I have off between doing cons. Like, I'm doing a con in Atlanta and I'm doing a con in Texas.
Wait, which movie or show brings you to that convention? Is it
What We Do in the Shadows?
Is What We Do in the Shadows.
A little bit of everything.
Okay.
Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows, but recently also Werewolves Within, which is, you know, having like a following. And
please talk about that movie for a second. I think you're in it. I think Cheyenne Jackson's in it.
Uh-huh. He plays my husband. I actually cast him in the movie.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I cast in the movie. The director asked me, hey, so we're looking for your husband in this movie. Who do you want to play opposite you? Do you think you have good chemistry with? And I said, well, it has to be someone who's fun. They have to love musical theater. They have to be handsome and tall. And you know, someone like Cheyenne Jackson. I just blurred his name out. And
did you know him?
I didn't. I've only known him from afar, and I was a fan of his work. And 24 hours later, they're like, okay, we got Cheyenne Jackson. I was like, what?
Harvey,
I was like, that's amazing.
This is the star power you have. And Harvey is the sweetest, most wonderful person. Thank you for coming.
Of course. Super excited. Anything for you and anything for Lilan.
Well, here is me and Lilan Bowden right after this.
Just don't tell my mother.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Lilan, I'm so happy to see you.
I'm so happy to see you too in this virtual world.
Give me a visual on where you are right now.
Oh, I'm in my apartment in sunny Los Angeles, California. I've changed a corner of my bedroom to be a recording studio.
I love it.
And every time I hop on Zoom, I just like throw all the dirty clothes in the hamper and I'm ready to go.
See, this is it. Like I did put on a bra, but I didn't have to.
I put on a bra too. And I don't always for recordings. This is special to me.
This show is usually about stories we don't want our moms to know. But today, and actually for the first time on this podcast, you're going to tell us a story involving your dad, which I'm super excited about because I think dads are wonderful and we don't talk about them enough. Were you raised by two parents? What was your upbringing like?
Yeah, I was raised by a mother and father. My family life changed a lot, the landscape of it. When I was like 0 to 5, it was just me and my parents. Right. And then my mom started inviting more of her relatives from Taiwan to live with us. So I got to live in like a big house. Like,
wow.
Not a big house, but a populated house.
Yes, yes.
And then when I was in middle school, my parents got divorced. And so the landscape changed again. And most of my relatives from Taiwan had moved back to Taiwan at this point. So I went from a big family to a small family again, but now two different families.
What was your mom's parenting style like compared to your dad's? Because I'm also the kid of divorced parents who divorced in middle school.
Yeah.
And they could not have been more different, the parenting styles.
Yes, same with my parents, too. My mother, you know, she had some elements of that, you know, archetypical, quote, tiger mother, in the sense that she had a really high standard for me and loved to compare me to my Taiwanese cousins.
Yeah, the worst.
But I think I kind of got off the hook in comparison to when I talked to some of my other friends who have East Asian immigrant parents. She wasn't as strict. She was pretty inconsistent, I would say, with what she decided to harp on.
Yes.
You know, like she was the kind of parent that wouldn't watch me like a hawk when I did my homework. But if my grade slipped, she'd let me know. And then my dad was absolutely the opposite. My dad cared like less about results and more about consistency.
Wow.
Like, my dad has worked in computers his whole life and I think has a worldview that resembles like computer programming. And so I think when he had me, he was like, this is a project. This is a child that should have good programs. So we actually designed a computer program that would give me times tables at rapid pace on the computer screen and I would type in the answer. And so once I typed in the answer and collect enter a new times table would appear.
He designed this for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One day he came home and he was like, Leland, I've got a present for you. And I'm maybe like 7 or something like that. So I'm like, oh, is it a toy? Is it a doll? Is it art supplies?
Yeah.
And he holds up this tiny, boring inch chip to go on a computer. And I was like, what's that? And he was like, it's more memory for your computer.
Oh, my God.
And he was so disappointed. I was not as excited about it.
Are you more similar to your mom or your dad?
Gosh, I don't know. I can only gauge from what people tell me.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like I'm like either of them. And what friends have repeatedly said after meeting my parents is that I make a lot more sense to them, A, and B, they're surprised at how functional I am. So the reason why people say that is because my mom and my dad are so different.
Yes.
Like that, I think it boggles people that these two people got together and raised children.
How are they different?
You know, when you see partners and they're in sync and they kind of pick up on the mannerisms or finish their sentences. Like my mom and my dad, even during their marriage, never really had that. They were just like two different people that lived in the same space that somehow raised the family.
Tell me a little bit about him.
He loved working on cars. He had an IROC Z28.
That's like, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Fast guy. I have great memories of on certain weekends, we just from the Bay Area, just book it to Disneyland for the day. We leave in the morning and it's and the drive is like it takes usually like 6 to 7 hours.
Sure.
Or, no, it's in Anaheim. So like 7 to 8.
Yeah.
It's we'd make it in 5. He would just be like going 100 the whole way.
Did didn't he also ride motorcycles?
He rode motorcycles too. When I was in high school, he had bought a motorcycle and he would ride it to work. And a couple of occasions he picked me up from high school on the motorcycle. And I just felt so cool. I remember, I didn't tell my friends too. All my friends were like, we're waiting in the parking lot. I was like, oh, there's my dad. And he just comes like, and I like my friends like were literally speechless. Their jaws were dropped, but they just were so confused by this sight. I was like, all right, bye guys. And he hands me a helmet. I put it on and we speed off.
Like other parents come in like a station wagon and your dad busts up in motorcycle. Like on a bike.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like you were embarrassed that your dad was picking you up. It was superseded by how cool he was on the bike pulling up to school.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
So did that make you cool? Like being the kid whose dad came and picked them up on the back of a Harley Davidson motorcycle? Or not at all? Not so much.
No, I was weird and creative and mousy and just like literally the last one to get picked on a team in PE. And that has been true my entire younger academic career. I wasn't coordinated. I was afraid of balls, you know, like I couldn't catch them. I couldn't throw them.
Were you pushed by your parents into doing sports?
No.
Okay.
No,
so no, then no, you didn't no, learn. No. Okay.
Oh,
you didn't learn.
No way. There were no sports happening in the Bowden Chen household. No.
Well, you are telling me a story about a time you tried to break the Bowden Chen not athletic mold and do something nobody thought you would ever do. Leland, tell me everything.
This is a story about how I learned to ride a motorcycle.
We'll be back with Leland right after this. Just don't tell my mother. Just.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My third season shooting Andy Mack, I decided to take all my best qualities and use them to learn how to ride a motorcycle. And this was inspired because my character, Bex, she rides a motorcycle. And I just thought it was so cool. And the head of transportation was like, hey, is this something you'd like to learn how to do? And I was like, yes. Could I finally be as cool as the character I play on TV? And he just as a gift got me motorcycle lessons.
So you play a very cool character and one of her traits is like badass motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. Babe. Bex is so cool. She went around the country. She goes to music festivals. She just does her own thing and she lives on a motorcycle. She's great. I'm not like that at all. And I was like, I could be like that, though. So the motorcycle lessons are through Harley Davidson. So you have to ride a Harley bike. The smallest Harley bike in the class is 550 cc's.
That sounds really big. Is that big?
That's equivalent to about 400 pounds, I think.
Holy shit. That's a lot of bike.
It's a lot of bike. And I have never ridden a dirt bike. I've never ridden a moped. And I've never even, I had one opportunity to drive a stick shift truck and I wasn't good at it. So that's my experience going into it. So the days trying to ride it were so like hard for me. The class is, you know, it's a small class. It's probably maybe about 12 people, majority men. A lot of men are ex-military or current military. There were a couple of women in my class. You know, you just don't see a lot of petite women like me taking these classes. And I'm trying to think about why that is. And one, I think like there's a strength component to it for sure. You know, you don't
physical.
Have to be. Yeah, you don't have to be like, you know, extremely ripped to ride a motorcycle by any means. But it helps if you're strong because it takes a lot of focus and energy. And I think the second thing is you kind of have to have like some hubris and faith. Like, yeah. You have to have like a lot of confidence that like you're not going to crash the roller coaster that you are controlling. And I think that just like in general, we don't see women being taught that same amount of like control
or that same amount of confidence.
Yeah. So this class was hard for me. This was difficult. I was nervous every time. We would take little breaks. And when the instructor said, hey, okay, let's get back out there. Like, I would feel nervous. A big part of the training course that they emphasize is how easy it is to die on a motorcycle. Like, I would say that, like, driver's ed, when I took it in high school, is all about, like, okay, make sure your turn signal's on, and then what kind of lights do you use when there's fog? Like, this training course, like, motorcycles ed was just like, okay, what are the three main ways that people die on a bike?
Damn.
You know, like, how, like, what do you do to prevent death? What are the four key, you know, like, it's all about how to not die, because motorcycles are dangerous. Like, if you know, people were like, oh gosh, I don't think motorcycle riding is a good idea. They're right.
My mom, that I wasn't allowed to even, I couldn't even consider even, you know, be going on the back of a bike of a friend, nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were scared shitless for motorcycles.
Yeah. I think that's valid. I think that's very valid. You know, they're like motorcycles. Like, being in a car is dangerous, but you have a shell around you. Being on a motorcycle is like, you are the shell. Like, you're Jesus. The first thing that hits if there's an accident.
What still made you do it instead of getting scared off by it?
I think I just wanted to be cool. Yeah. I have a longstanding history of not being cool. I just wanted to do something that people would think I wouldn't do. And then at the end of the course, we all had to take the test. I did not pass the first time, and I don't know if this was allowed, but the instructor was like, take it again. And so I took it again and I passed the second time.
Way to go, Leland!
And so what that meant is that I now had the paperwork to get my license, but this was in Utah. And so if I could only get a Utah license, right? So I had to retake the test in California. And so I'm feeling really confident. And so I tell my dad this. And I was like, hey, guess what? I passed the training course. And he goes, oh, great. And I was like, but I still need to get my license. And he goes, oh, okay, well, I'll help you with that. I'll rent a bike for you. My dad hasn't owned a bike in years, but he was excited. So he rented bikes for both of us. And in his mind, me taking a training course meant that I was like ready for anything. I was trained. What I didn't express to him, because I didn't think about it, and what he didn't know, was that I had never left a parking lot on a motorcycle.
Wow. Okay.
So, but in his mind, he's like, my daughter knows how to ride a motorcycle. So he went and he bought like a magnet map that sticks to your motorcycle, like plotted out trails for us and mountains and highways. And I was like, okay. But in my mind, I was like, okay, I can do it. And the bike he had rented for me was a Honda Rebel, which was 250 cc's. It was like, it felt like half the size. And I was like, well, if I pass the test on a Harley Davidson bike, surely. And they make you pass the test. This program made you pass the test on a 550 cc bike and a 750 cc bike. So I'd already passed the test twice on these two bikes.
In Utah. Now you're like, I'm just going to do this in LA. Not a big deal.
No problem. But at this point, like a month at least had gone by since I had touched a bike.
Got it.
You know? So like he rents this bike for me. He's like, test it out. I'm like, okay, I think I kind of remember these things, the throttle, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, yep. I think I can do it. I'm a little nervous. I'm already nervous, like, cause I have to go into a street for the first time. He's like, well, just take it around the parking lot. I was like, okay. So I try to make a U-turn. My brain forgets what's brake and what's throttle.
Oh no.
I pick up some speed. I'm going too fast. And my response to it is to pull on the throttle, and I crash into the wall of the rental building in the motorcycle rental parking lot.
Leland!
We hadn't rented it for more than 5 minutes before I totaled it.
What did your dad say? What did you feel?
Oh, absolute devastating humiliation. I was so embarrassed. I think my dad had already introduced me to the motorcycle rental guy as like, my daughter's on TV. Like, here, look her up. Like, I just, and I could overhear one of the the guys in the shop coming out being like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like,
so what happened to the bike?
Well, it was still rideable. So I spent the next couple of hours, like, because he had already rented it, you know, like, just so, like, practicing the parking lot. And he was like, do you want to try to take it on the street? And I was like, no, I'm too scared. Like, my confidence was shattered. Everything was gone. I was so humiliated. But I did want to try to, like, practice a little bit with my tail between my legs. I wasn't really hurt. The total for the damage ended up being, like, upwards of $1,000. Which, I mean, it could have been worse. And so my poor dad, he had rented a bike for himself. He returned it because we were not going on a ride that day. But here's what I will say. So after that humiliating day, I go back and I shoot some more Andy Mac. I come back on Thanksgiving. It's like maybe a couple months later now. And my dad goes, let's try it again. Let's do it again. My dad rents a bike for him and the exact same bike I crashed.
No, he rents literally the same bike.
Literally the same bike because they're almost done fixing it up. They have that, like, as he rents it, they're like, the taillight is still loose. So my dad, like, fix it with a zip tie.
Man, he is not giving up.
And I was like, so on edge, you know, that I was like, look, he rented him for a week. And I was like, Dad, just so you know, let's prepare that I'm not going to leave a parking lot for a week. Obviously, I need a lot of practice. But, you know, all it took was just kind of like getting used to it. The first day we roamed around residential streets. The second day we rode a little bit farther. Third day, I think, was Thanksgiving. And we rode all the way to his friend's house for Thanksgiving. And we rode back at night, you know. And then the fourth and fifth, we were on highways. And we were going for long stretches. And I had so much fun.
Yes.
And when we returned it, like, same rental shop guy, he side-eyes me. He looks at the bike. My bike also has, like, bumpers on it. Like, these kind of, like, I don't know what they're called, but, like, these metal things in case, like, the bike tips, it kind of catches itself before it just lays down.
Okay.
He moves his hand over the bumper to feel for any scratch, any sign that I might have tipped the bike. And, like, he's feeling the metal all over the bike to make sure I didn't scratch it. Nothing. And he looks back at me and I go, are you proud of me? He's like, yeah.
I can imagine when your dad went back, it's like, oh no, you again. You guys.
I mean, like, had I been my dad, I would have, like, never visited the shop again, gone to a different shop, worn a mustache, like to disguise myself. No, he was like, I want the same bike my daughter crashed, please.
So how did it feel to pass the driving test?
I mean, here's the deal. I never got my license.
Oh!
But how did it feel to be competent? Amazing. I just felt like, okay, this overwhelming humiliation does not define me. Because the same woman who crashed a bike in the rental parking lot is also the same woman who can go on highways at, like, 60 miles an hour with her dad.
And since this story is about you and your father, you wanted to get your dad on the phone. So for the first time in Don't Tell My Mother history, we are bringing on a dad. Lelan, let's call your father.
Hello?
Hi! This is Nikki. What can I call you? What do I call you?
Joe,
I know Lelan taught you Zoom for this.
Yeah. Lelan taught me how to use Zoom.
Well, Lelan told us a story about the time you tried to take her for her California motorcycle test.
So something we talked about a lot is the first time that you rented a bike for me and just how disastrously it went and how embarrassed I was and how patient you were.
My feelings about that is that I don't want Lelan to be riding a motorcycle around in city traffic. Because I know it's dangerous. I've been riding motorcycles all my life for many years. Motorcycle is my only method of transportation.
Wow. And
so I know that it's dangerous. You know, I mean, no matter how much risk management you take, it's just physics, you know. So I don't want Lelan doing that. However, you know, I think it's a skill and, you know, it could be a valuable skill to have. You might need to ride a motorcycle sometime. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll teach you how to ride a motorcycle. So when we first went down to the motorcycle shop to rent the motorcycles, I had her wear some armor, some body armor that I had. And it's a good thing, too, because I think that it may have protected her from more serious injury on her first crash.
What did you think when she crashed the bike into the building? Oy.
Well, I was watching her. It's like, okay, I can ride this. And then she's like, you know, rolling around and she's starting to go around the corner, make a turn. And I'm thinking, you know, she needs to turn a little bit sharper or else she's going to run into the side of the building. And then she's like, hit the side of the building and went tumbling over the handlebars. And I was thinking, wow, I'm glad I put that body armor on. I was considering the physics of it, and I didn't think that she was likely to be seriously hurt, you know.
I mean,
except for her ego, you know, her pride.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things Lelon said that is that, you know, one of the reasons she kind of like looked inside herself and said, I want to do this, is because she kind of wanted to do something that was not expected of her. Was this like a kind of out of character for the Lelon that you raised as a little girl?
Nothing, you know, Lelon does like surprise me. I mean, she's just like so awesome and like has done so many like fantastic things. And you know, I'm just never ceased to be amazed at the stuff she does.
Oh, Dad.
Dad, did you ever crash a bike into anything?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's an old saying about motorcycle riders. There's the ones that haven't crashed and the ones that haven't crashed yet. I've crashed several times. When I was younger, it was usually my fault.
Lelon, with Dad on the phone, how are you kind of turning into your dad? I think we're all turning into our parents in some way. Is there anything that you're like, besides riding a motorcycle, mm-hmm. which maybe is the thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Be yourself.
Don't turn into my dad. I mean, yeah, I think that's kind of just something that's really wonderful about my dad is that, like, you know, my dad never wanted me to be a version of him. You know, like, I think my dad was always so good at allowing me to be who I was going to be and fostering whatever I seem to be interested in. What I can say is that I do hope when I become a parent, if I become a parent, I'm like you in the way that you parented me.
Yeah, I think you'd be a great parent. I mean, for me as a technical person, an engineer, and then it's like Lelon is like an artist, and it's like, I don't understand this stuff. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'll support you in that.
I'm just glad you figure out how to use Zoom. And this is our first podcast together. So, Nikki, thank you for having us on as a father-daughter duo. This is really special to me.
I think that I was supposed to maybe say stuff to embarrass Lelon more.
Dad, I don't need you to embarrass me. I can do that all by myself.
Dad and Lelon, of course. I'm so happy to have you. It's always fun hearing a story from two perspectives, especially when one of the perspectives is your parent. Remember what they say. If it's not one thing,
it's your father.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Joe.
Dad.
Oh my God.
You're welcome. I'm going to leave now.
Thanks for listening, my family. Don't miss Lelon in the new Netflix sketch comedy series, I Think You Should Leave. Also, FYI, she said she is committed to getting her license this year. We'll keep up on that one. Guys, follow us at Nikki Levy and at Don't Tell My Mother on Instagram. We love you. Leave us a rating and a review. It helps get this show out there, and we do it for you. Let's make great comedy. Let's make great connections. We love you. Mwah.
Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Mixed and edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Just don't. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.